The Earnestly Speaking podcast is a show that is founded on free-flowing conversation and may at times venture into mature subjects. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, Earnestly Speaking podcast. Let's get it. I'm a giant in New York, in Miami, carry heat. So much more in store, my product can flood the street. Opinionation godfather, CEO. Huff in the late 90s, gon' see me blow. Oh. Got my hustle on, no imitation of that. Army of untouchables, opinionation staff. Never in off-season, homie, check the numbers. Heart throbbing my own right, suppliers of the comfort. Earnestly speaking, my ego is well-fed. Earnestly speaking, you're too feeble. No threat. See him like a hurricane. You're a mild breeze. Earnestly speaking, leaving Eli a dynasty. Shame.
What is up? What is up? What is good? Today's show, of course, GW Gross steps in for his Thursday chat. I'll talk about some NFL and a couple college questions I have for him too. Of course, a week four picks versus the spread this week. We'll get to that in just a second. This is a football show, pretty much a football centric episode, but a couple things I want to get into today. Number one, a couple topics I want to get into before we get to the show today. First off, we're recording before the game, but feels like this tonight. It does feel like that tonight's Vikings Rams game. The juice of this game is gone. Like I was very excited about this game 3 weeks ago. I thought both these teams would be 3-0 heading into this game. Yeah, I even had Minnesota being Green Bay before the year started. And you know the Rams held up their end of the bargain, not the Vikings, not so much. And you know, and it kind of stinks. So the hype of this game was not as big as it should have been. Maybe 2 weeks ago, you know, Minnesota tying Green Bay week two, and then losing to Buffalo last week in week three, a Buffalo team that had a player who was actually a Buffalo team last week that every blogger writer I know. And not only that, even ESPN, NFL.com, all had as their worst team in the league. We have people saying that they're the worst team of the decade, the singular Bills team. And yet they came into Minnesota and punched them in the mouth. So there, you know, there's that. There's the game tonight, which again, this is a podcast. This is being recorded before the game, hours before the game. The hype is gone in this game. So, I mean, I'm a little disappointed there. My other, I had another thing I want to talk about too also. Coaches on the hot seat on the NFL. I think I have three guys I'm looking at, 3-1, that I believe are on the hot seat. Number three for me, Jason Garrett. One being, of course, the hottest seat of all of the three guys. Jason Garrett, who I still think is going to be safe because unless the Cowboys really implode this year, like 3-13, 4-12, maybe 5-11. I think he'll still be the coach next year because he's the Jerry Jones yes man. So it's not like he's doing the Jerry Jones bidding, you know? So it is what it is. Todd Bowles, and this is not even fair necessarily because the Jets are still rebuilding. But Todd Bowles, I think, is the guy also on the hot seat. And then Bill O'Brien, of course, at number one for me. I think Bill O'Brien may be the first coach who could get fired during the year. If I had to put the odds so I can get fired sooner would be Bill O'Brien because 0-3 Texans, with the roster they have, Deshaun Watson, who had that great 7-game stretch last year, and he has J.J. Watt back. He's healthier. The team's healthier now. It's quite disappointing how bad the Texans have been so far, 0-3, losing to the Giants team that was pretty much just as bad, not worse than they were coming to the game. So those are the coaches on the hot seat. Those are the coaches I'm looking at in the coming weeks, especially Bill O'Brien. Before we get to the picks of the week with Zach and I'll sit down with G about talking about some stories in the NFL, whatnot. I'm looking at Lakers, and obviously this week is the start of NBA season, media day this past Monday, and then of course practice and all that training camp, and then we get to the first set of games, preseason games, this coming weekend. Laker fans, you know. And let me just say for the record, I'm a friend of a lot of Laker fans. People cover the Lakers. I actually like the Lakers. You know, my favorite athlete of all time is Magic Johnson. He's obviously the president of this team, so I don't have them to hate on. But, again, this is something that I've, you know, it boggles my mind. You know, Laker fans and just the entitlement and the expectations. And I get the fact that you guys are used to winning, but the last couple of years have done such. So somebody in the media, I don't know who this is. I wish I knew who it was. Asked a question to LeBron James about loyalty to the team and whatnot. And here's what she asked LeBron James, and it's just his response.
LeBron, the LA fan base, how do you expect to earn their respect and earn their loyalty?
Who, me?
The fan base, yes.
Me?
Yes, you.
Huh?
You say the fans that say they want to see you and earn their respect.
I'll sign a 4-year deal. How much more do you want me to do?
That's fine. I mean, we talked to them outside of here yesterday.
Listen, I signed a 4-year deal. I'm here, so. I mean, I know what I bring to the table on the floor.
This is ridiculous. I mean, the question asked there, you know, it makes me want to laugh. Like, he signed a 4-year deal, number one. I mean, that's the most he could have signed for. So, obviously, I mean, if you want the, you know, quote-unquote loyalty from a player to the team, you got that there. But again, there's this entitlement here from Laker fans. And what she's saying, you know, I'm not saying she's wrong to ask that question, but she's actually asking the question that many Laker fans feel that way. I mean, look how fans treat the mural. You know, Darren James' mural. Remember that? Did you see that? I mean, it's one of those things where I'm just dumbfounded as to, you know, the thought process. You know, yes, he's not Kobe. He's not Magic. He's not Shaq. You know, he's not Jerry West. You know, he's coming to the tail end of his career, probably. You know, but is this the idea of, you know, you guys, like you guys deserve LeBron James? No, you don't. You don't deserve LeBron James. You should be happy you have him in the first place. Did you forget that you had free agents that weren't even flocking to you guys last couple of years because the guys are so terrible? Remember the last couple of years of Kobe, how bad you guys were? Like, the last 5 years, I don't know if the last 5 years has messed your guys' brain up. I don't know. Like, it's fucking crazy. Like, do you guys forget how bad you guys have been in the last 5 years? And for LeBron James to come here, and for whatever reason LeBron James is here in the first place, that doesn't even matter. The idea that you should feel entitled. You guys should be happy LeBron James decided to come to you guys. There were actually better basketball options out there for LeBron James than the Lakers. You do realize that, right? So, this entitlement process, this entitlement idea of, oh, LeBron should come to us, you know, we deserve LeBron, get it out of your head. This is a new NBA now. Players dictate where they want to go. Like, you don't need to be in L.A. to get endorsements and whatnot. You don't need to be in L.A. to be the one player. LeBron was in Cleveland for 11 years and was the best player in the league for probably 8 years of that. So, I mean, come on. The entitlement thing, gotta stop. It's a bad look on you guys. It's a bad look. By the way, before we get to today's show with G and then Zach, big shout out to my man, Eric Reed. Remember, Eric Reed is the guy that was kneeling with Colin Kaepernick, former Niner. Couldn't get a job last year. Well, we got breaking news about 2 hours ago. The Carolina Panthers have announced that they've signed Eric Reed to a contract. Eric Reed, of course, is a safety. Now, worth noting that he does have a collusion case against the NFL, which is still active, even after the signing. So, obviously, this is development we'll be looking at in the weeks to come. So, congrats to Eric Reed. Colin Kaepernick already, you know, addressed on Twitter, reacted on Twitter to him getting signed and all that. So, very happy for Eric Reed. You know, however you feel about the situation in kneeling, that's not even important at this point now. Just glad that Eric Reed got a job. So, all right. Today's show, here we go. We're going to have G on first to talk about some big storylines in the NFL as well as college football. And then my man, Zach, the gambling degenerate, to come on the show to talk about, picking week 4 games against the spread. By the way, I was 3-2 on the best last week as well as 9-7 on my overall picks for the week. So here we go. All right, joining us today is the founder of StreetSmartFootball.com, a regular on Thursdays, G.W. Gross. G, what's up?
Sorry, you can butcher his name. My website's fine.
Oh, let me start over again. StreetSmartFootball.com. Is that better?
Yes. Hey, EJ, how you doing, man? How you doing?
Glad hey, buddy. How you doing? Let's talk college first. Interesting week number one. Big game this weekend, actually. Ohio State, Penn State. Who you like?
Well, as a Penn State fan, I'm always going to say Penn State, you know. But I will say I've been watching every game this season, and let me say, that middle of the defense frightens me. Like, from Appalachian State to Pitt, even against Illinois, if another team just wants to power through the middle of that Penn State defense, they can't, you know? It's very suspect, and the defense is all about Miles Sanders and Trace McSorley. Like, you know, like, I love Trace. Like, he's not an NFL quarterback, but for this system that James Franklin put in, he's amazing. You know, he's smart. He's smart with the ball. You know, just great decision-making in the pocket. He runs the RPO great. And Miles Sanders is another – you could tell Penn State's going to be one of those universities that you could plug and play. Whoever's going to be the starting running back, they're just going to be a star, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that Miles Sanders kind of like he took the baton from Saquon Barkley, and he's just doing just fine. But defensively, I'm just scared of Penn State, especially with this being Urban Meyer's, I'm a proof to the world how big and bad I am. You know, like, this is going to be his game. I mean, this Ohio State team, that they recruit top five pretty much every year. They have athletes everywhere on the field. They're more athletic than Penn State, which says a lot, because James Franklin's a good recruiter, and Penn State's a contender as well. But I think Ohio State's a 3.5-point favorite. I could definitely see Ohio State winning this one by 10 or 12 points, though.
And it's funny because, you know, we talk about Alabama. We talk about the dominant teams in college football so far through 4 weeks. We talk about, obviously, Alabama's doing their thing. Probably the best Alabama team, you know, if you can say that. I mean, if you can really say that. I mean,
did they actually throw the ball?
You know, and two was incredible. I mean, he's dynamic. You know, and,
yeah.
And I mean, you mentioned Georgia or something. Maybe last week they kind of came to earth a little bit, you know, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Ohio State, and look, Grant, they haven't played anybody. I mean, they played TCU a couple weeks ago, but they haven't played anybody, really. And they're kind of under the radar a little bit in terms of the top tier, in terms of, like, being in that Alabama conversation.
Yeah, and the reason why, I think, is because of, like you said, their strength of schedule in the early going. It's always hard to really gauge these teams on how good they are. You could definitely see how bad a team is early in the year. Like, we look at, like, if you're a Power 5 conference and you're struggling against a lower-tier Sun Belt or a Division II school, then you could tell your weaknesses right away. But when you're a Power 5 conference team, especially if you're a top 10 team, and you're just beating up on the sisters of the poor, it's pretty hard to tell, like, how good they are. But Ohio State, we see it year in, year out. You know, they only lose about 2 games a year anyway. I mean, they've been consistent since the Tressel days, you know, so... I mean, for me, that's why Ohio State with those big spreads, I never want to touch them.
Yeah.
Like, if they're a 30-point, I never want to touch them because I don't know how good they are. You know, but you know that they're good enough that if they want to, they could put a whooping on Penn State if they want to.
Absolutely. What do you make of the Kelly Bryant situation in Clemson? Kelly Bryant, of course, was a starting quarterback for the Clemson Tigers. Then he was benched last week, and now he is going to take advantage of that rule, the new rule where if you transfer within the first 4 weeks of the year, you can actually keep your eligibility for an extra year. He's going to transfer now. What do you make of all that?
I was kind of shocked. I really thought they were going to keep on going, the two quarterback thing. I mean, it seemed to be working, you know. And obviously, you look at Lawrence, and Lawrence was going to be the guy eventually to take over. I didn't think it was going to be like this, especially this early in the season for a team that has national championship aspirations. I mean, you're putting a freshman quarterback in that position now that is national championship or bust. I mean, that just seems weird to me, you know. I mean, but Dabo Swinney, he's up there, as we said, with Urban Meyer. Like, you got to put Dabo right for that category now with Urban Meyer.
Absolutely.
And Nick Saban. He's definitely a top five coach now. And once again, it comes down to recruiting. He knows how to recruit. And it's his team, his offense. He knows better than anybody who's going to give him the best chance. And if he flat out is just saying Lawrence is going to be the guy, they're not even switching around, you know, I mean, you got to have faith in Dabo, but it just seems weird to put a true freshman in that spot. It just seems weird to me. But and for Kelly Bryant, like, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know why people get that. It's really Ohio State people who are getting all upset about it, about him wanting to transfer. And then, but whatever. I mean, he only has one shot, you know, in college to really to try to get to that next level. And he's not a guy who's like a pocket passer or nothing. So he has to show off his skill with the ball in the hand somehow. You know, like, shout out to my guy, Thor Nystrom, who said Georgia Tech wouldn't be a bad fit for him, you know. At least he could show it, because he's not good at throwing the ball. He's not. Guys have to be wide open for him to complete passes. I mean, that's just the natural end of it. And I forgot who I was listening to on the radio. They said Arkansas is a good fit, because the offensive coordinator that was in Clemson that recruited him is over there now, so that just makes sense.
And for the record, I think Dabo Swinney did them a favor. He could have sat on this whole thing until next week and then announced it after the eligibility expired. The fact that
exactly.
he did it, before,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
he did him a favor.
And Dabo was kind of weird, too, because he did do him the favor, and then, like, at first he was like, oh, he's a good kid, and then he kind of just, like, sounded petty. It was just weird. It was weird from Dabo.
All right, on the NFL real quick. It's actually been a really good year thus far. You know, the national anthem controversy is in the rear view. Ever heard anything about that since the first week of the preseason? But the only thing I will say that's been pretty crappy about the year so far is the fact that these roughing the passer rules, man, you know, it's annoying.
Yeah. What I will say, though, is, like, Clay Matthews is the guy who's been nabbed with it three times in a row. And you know what? It kind of serves the Green Bay Packers right because there's rules in play because of their guy getting hurt with this, you know? And the NFL didn't want to see Aaron Rodgers get hurt again, so they put in this rule. So it's kind of ironic that the person who's being more vocal about it is Aaron Rodgers' teammate, you know, Clay Matthews. But got to also say, though, but, like, Ben Roethlisberger, who is one of the biggest, like P-words in the NFL, just complains about everything. He's just a brat. Even he said the rule is out of control. You know, so it makes you wonder. Like, and he said something. I'm not quoting him correctly here, but he pretty much said, "I shouldn't be saying this because the referees are doing this in our favor to protect us, but it's hard on the defensive guys." You know?
Yeah, I just think that it, you know, again, we'll get to. I'm sure at some point we'll get to happy medium with this, but some of the calls are just ridiculous.
Yeah. There was a game opening week. Who was it? Oh my God! I want to say the Bengals. I'm not sure if it was opening week, but it was the Bengals against the Colts. I think that was opening week.
Yeah, that was opening week.
And I think it was Dunlap. Dunlap got called for it twice against Andrew Luck, and it was nonsense. You know, like, and the Colts just couldn't block him for whatever reason, and it was just nonsense calls. And what kills you the most is when it's third down. And an edge rusher is like, all right, we got to get to the quarterback. We got to get to the backfield, 3rd and 8. And then you get him. And for all your life, that's been a clean tackle, a clean hit. Then all of a sudden, 15 yards, first down. Like, how are you going to tell these guys to put the brakes on something when this is their livelihood? This is what they're getting paid to do, especially these edge rushers. You know? Like, how are you going to tell them slow down because you could get them first down? How are you going to do that to them? But this is the NFL, and this is going to be something else. Just like how corners and safeties had to adapt to pass interference calls and keeping their hands on the receiver, defenders are going to have to adapt to this as well.
And once again, we're joined by G.W. Gross. He's the founder of StreetSmartFootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter, of course, at G-E-E-S-T-E-E-L-I-O. Let's talk about one of the games, one of the most intriguing games of the weekend. That is the 1-2 Patriots against the 3-0 Miami Dolphins. Look, I think the Pats will win this game. I still have my rankings number 7, my power rankings of the week. People were pissed about that. And I said, clearly, it's solely on reputation. That being said, the Pats have looked god-awful the last 2 weeks. Does this game sort of feel like a change in the guard situation here?
You know what? I got to give you credit for putting in your rankings, and you pretty much said, yeah, they're still here because of the Patriots. Like, you didn't try to give them
an excuse. The reason why it's simple.
You didn't say, oh, you know, the play call. You were just like, they're the Patriots, man. They got to be there. Like, it's only two losses.
I mean, it's simple, though.
Like, this is a team that's been averaging 10 wins a year for almost 20 years. Like, how can you go against that?
And it's not like they haven't done this before. Like, I mean, the thing is, you know, and Dolphin fans who local, of course, are getting mad at me, oh, what the hell? You know, why are you doing that? I go, well, you don't get to decide this when your history has proven nothing but mediocrity. Prove me wrong first,
right.
And then.
Yeah, and you know what? Every year, there's a team like the Miami Dolphins in the NFL. There's a team that out of nowhere goes 5-0, 6-0, and you know what? They don't even make the playoffs. They go on like an 8-game losing streak. And Miami is kind of built for that kind of run right now, where I could see Miami winning this game, being on top of the world, all of a sudden slip up against a mediocre team, slip up against a bad team, and all of a sudden the questions come in about Tannehill and Gase. I could see this, because this happens every year with one team, you know?
Of course.
For the Patriots, but at the same time, the Patriots do seem like they finally lost the step. The offense just doesn't seem clicking, and I know he doesn't have Edelman out there, but let's be honest, like, Brady's done it without Gronk and a bunch of no-name receivers before, you know? So even that excuse means nothing to me, because I've always said Brady's the kind of guy that doesn't matter who you get on that receiver, he's going to make them a star. You know, he's going to make them a household name, like a la Chris Hogan, you know?
Right.
You know, so the offense is struggling, The defense, where we saw last year, the defense had flaws. You know, I think losing to Detroit was a big, big, big red flag, because you don't lose to Detroit if you're the Patriots. You just don't.
Especially when it's Matt Patricia.
Yeah, like that one had me more nervous than anything else. I'm like, wow, they lost to Detroit. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and a Detroit team that's not really that like good. That's the thing we forget here. It's not a good Detroit team. I mean, just 2 weeks, look, the Jets blew them out week one. We were ripping Detroit as one of the worst teams in football. And 2 weeks later, beat the Patriots? I mean, come on now.
I will say about Detroit, though, Detroit probably has one of the most underrated receiving corps in the NFL. I mean, I'll give them that much. I think with their three receivers there, that's a tough receiving corps they have.
Yeah. All right. One of the most disappointing things so far into the season is the Jimmy Garoppolo injury in San Francisco, mainly because if you told me before the year started, you know, give you five things you're looking forward to the season. One of, I'd say the top three right there, I would have told you was Jimmy G and how he'll turn around San Francisco in the years to come. And now he's out for the year for the ACL injury. San Francisco might be the worst team in the league now without Jimmy G.
Man, go to streetsmartfootball.com, because before the season started, I was doing over and unders for every team in the league. And the 49ers were at 8.5. And I said, jump on this under, throw everything on this under. And that was with Jimmy Garoppolo on the team. I was never a believer in the Jimmy Garoppolo hype. I've seen the New England quarterbacks go somewhere else, get paid, and just become average. Like, this is a bad team to begin with. This is almost a situation of Andrew Luck and the Colts, the way the 49ers are with Garoppolo. And I actually think the 49ers have more talent than the Colts do, you know, offensively. But even then, I wasn't believing in this team with Garoppolo. And the games we saw Garoppolo, I didn't come away impressed at all. Like, he's average. He's average to me. He's always going to be average. All this does now is have C.J. Beathard in there, now a quarterback. They're going to get slaughtered every week. This is a nice landing spot for the San Diego Chargers, though, to play them. So,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah, this is a team I had no – I sold all stock in this thing in August.
Well,
so,
I had eight wins. Well, for the record, I also had eight wins, too. I had the ceiling at eight wins. That's why I went under. Like to me, they were no better than a 500 team. So the season was eight wins me anyway, and without Garoppolo, I think Arizona's better than them right now. Without Garoppolo,
Arizona almost got us, you know, Chi-Town. So
the Kansas City Chiefs are 3-0. Pat Mahomes having a phenomenal start to the year, but they are ranked number 32 in defense so far. Should we be concerned about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be concerned about it right now. This has the makings of one of those Saints teams, you know, that we see in the past that can rack up 35, 38 points a game, and you have to try to outscore them, you know. And at this rate that they're going, this is another team with tremendous weapons. People already forgot that they have Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's a top five running back. They don't even use him that much. Yeah, I mean, trust me, I got Kareem Hunt in three fantasy teams. I'm like, give him the ball. He finally got the ball last week. You know, this team has so many weapons. Sammy Watkins is reborn over here. That's what Andy Reid could do to an offense and with a quarterback. But two things I'll say quick about Kansas City is Patrick Mahomes should never speak in public again, because it makes him lose all credibility with that voice of his. You know, he sounds like a six-year-old girl. Like, I can't take him seriously. I don't care how strong his arm is.
And why would you say that, man? Wow.
Second thing is, watch out for this Monday night game against Denver. That's a hard place to play. Prime time against one of the league's best defenses. I mean, Mahomes is going to get hit in this game. You know, Von Miller is not only one of the best at what he does, he's also psychologically a nut job. You know, so, like, you know he's going to be getting in the head
it's
of
funny.
Mahomes.
And I
like, what is it, 5.5? I like Denver at home with the 5.5.
And it's funny you said that, because my best bets tomorrow, well, my best bets of the weekend is going to be this game. I have Denver plus 5.5.
Oh, yeah. And you know how it is. You've got to go against the public, and the public is all over Mahomes right now. You know, like,
I mean, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I like Mahomes, too. I just think this is one of those games where you can see him kind of struggle, having it finally throw an interception, two touchdowns, come a little bit back down to life, and Andy Reid relies more on short passes, get it out quick to Kareem Hunt, Sammy Watkins on drag, stuff like that. I don't see a lot of big throws, though, in this game, because the offensive line is not going to hold up that long against this pass rush.
Feels like a reality check game coming up.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Case Keenum's the truth either, but Case Keenum against his offense, he'll have some. Remember, they have weapons on this. They got Royce Freeman on that offense, and they still got Thomas and Sanders. You know, so this is a team that if Case Keenum just could play average, they could pull off 8 wins this year.
Right. Once again, GW Gross with us, founder of StreetSportsFootball.com, on Twitter at GWSTWLIO. This weekend is Detroit. You know, not that it's an exciting game necessarily, but Cowboys-Lions this weekend, to me, has a loser-leave-town feel to it.
You're right.
It does.
It does.
I
don't know where I land with this. I'm just saying Dallas just for the hell of it. I don't even care. This is one of those games that, like, if you're a regular football, you have no interest in watching this game. And I don't know, I'm just saying Dallas will win just because they shouldn't. You would think Detroit would win, you know, because they just came off the win off New England. And that's why I'm picking Dallas. You know how it is with football. You kind of go the opposite grain. And I'm just thinking because Detroit's going to be so proud of themselves because they handled New England that, you know, the middle of the defense will be suspect to, like, these little dink and dunk passes from Dak Prescott, a Zeke Elliott screen reception, like, you know, stupid things like that. You know, that's why I think Dallas wins this.
Honestly, to say bet, and again, another peek of my best bets tomorrow I'll have on the show, is taking the under on this game. I think it's like 38, 37, something like that. Take the under. None of these offense. I mean, even Detroit, you saw last week, struggled to score against New England last week as well. Definitely under in this game here. Final to go. James Winston is officially activated for the team. They have not announced the starting quarterback at least to my knowledge. They have not announced who's the start for week 4 against your Bears, actually, this weekend, the Bucks and the Bears, which is another game I'm fascinated about.
Interesting.
If despite the loss last week, I still said that Fitzpatrick should be the starter. Still, mm-hmm. You agree with that?
Oh yeah. No, I mean, there's no way you go to Winston at this point. I was listening to your boy, Clay Travis, actually, and he brought up the last.
I love how you say your boy, and it's funny. I was listening to his podcast a little while ago, but go ahead.
That's your boy, because you're the one in love with Clay Travis.
I have a love hate with Clay Travis, though, I'll be honest with you.
Let me tell you, I didn't really give him any mind until you brought him up, and I was like, all right, I'll listen to him a little bit. I listened to him for like 30 minutes a game. He's all right. He's entertaining.
He reminds me of you a little bit.
He's not half as good looking as I am. Anyway, let me get back to this point, right?
I mean, look, we all know that. I'm just saying, in terms of the shock value and all that, all that.
What were we even talking about? As soon as I said now I'm half as good looking, I saw my reflection and I kind of got,
James Winston. The box.
Fitzpatrick and Winston. So yeah, the last 6 games, comparing them, and Fitzpatrick's stats just blow Winston's out the water. Like, Winston's turnovers are just ridiculous. And let's be honest, I mean, you're a Florida State guy. You know, so you've seen Winston, and not for nothing, when Florida State had Winston, I was betting heavily on Florida State first half. I loved Winston, but you see the struggles. You know, he just doesn't quite get it. He doesn't have the head for it. You know, and I'm not even talking about off the field. Just in game, he makes bad reads. And Fitzpatrick, he is what he is. He's a guy who has these flash in the pan kind of things. But at the same time, and I've always said this, I think I might have said it on your podcast too. Fitzpatrick, wherever he goes, he's loved by his teammates. You know, absolutely loved. You know, DeSean Jackson is even happy with him, and DeSean Jackson is miserable. You know? Like, DeSean Jackson's a miserable human being who doesn't like anybody. Even he loves Fitzpatrick. So it's like, there was no chance Winston was going to get this job. Even if Fitzpatrick was average, I don't see Winston getting this job.
Right. Anyway, before you go, plug anything you want to plug.
Check out StreetSmartFootball.com, the blog site that, you know, we went 3-0 in college last week, so the pressure's on me this week. I already got three of my best bets up. I'm working on a fourth and fifth because I got time on my hands tomorrow. So I'll be doing numbers, crunching numbers, see what I could do. And also check out the Bears Brawl podcast, me and Mike Brez. We put that together. We went, for 5 episodes in. Check it out on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, all that stuff. If you're a Bears fan, you probably have like 2 Bears fans listening.
And by the way, stuff. You know, I'm not even a Bears fan, but I'm subscribed to the podcast just because I want to hear what you guys had to say about the Bears. Because I find the Bears very fascinating this year. So you want to hear the?
Let me say, there's a lot of feeling among Bears fans that this is like the Rex Grossman team, though, because we need to see more out of Mitch Trubisky immediately.
I gotta be honest with you, man. He obviously needs more time. I'm not gonna lie, he needs more time, but I'm not sold. right now.
Yeah.
He asked me about
and you know what sucks? Like, of course, everybody keeps talking about it, but it's like, we traded up to get him when there was Watson and Mahomes there. So, you know, he's always going to be compared to Watson. And I'm not saying Watson is great, but he looks better than Trubisky is. And if Watson is on his team, we probably give us a better chance. And obviously Mahomes is Mahomes, but that's the thing that people will always go to. Ryan Pace has been great in his drafts with a late round, the fourth round, great. But that one move, you know, it could kill your career as a GM, so.
Yeah. Anyway, G, on Twitter, of course, at GWSCWLIL. Check out all his wacky tweets also, too. Very, very fascinating guy. G, thank you.
Yeah, I was off today. I don't know what the hell
going
on.
Dude, you tweeted some shit today that I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's what happens when you work at 2 o'clock in the morning shift and no one else around to talk to you. You just talk to yourself. It's weird. It's really weird.
That's why Twitter's there for the clutch, man. Later, G. Good job. Zach, what's happening?
Not much, man.
Rough week
waiting
for you.
Waiting to break up the spot on Gamble.
Rough week for you. You went 7-9 this week on your picks against the spread. Meanwhile, I went 9-7. Another 9-7 week. 3-2 again for the first straight week on my best bets. I was just telling you off the air, take away the pick six in that Monday night game, I would have gotten my 10th win of the week, but it is what it is.
I know. And then you have Pittsburgh at like number 11 in your power rankings.
Yeah, I'm higher than that. I think I'm number 9 actually.
Oh, I'm saying had they lost, you'd keep them at, you'd only put them at 11 instead of 10.
You think so? Yo, well apparently I put my rankings. This morning, put my rankings on the site, and everybody's coming at me with the, oh, why is this team too high? Why is this team too low? The Dolphins in top 10? I mean, the 3-0, you got to put them in there, at least for now.
You do, because that's what it is. It's a power ranking for how teams are playing.
I had the Steelers.
You have to go by how they're playing, not how they played 10 years ago and 20 years ago, but how they're playing now.
I put Pittsburgh at number 10 and Tampa right behind them. Number 11, right behind them.
It's just shameful, that's all.
I know. I mean, if I would have changed something here on the rankings, I would put Atlanta back in the top 10. And put 10 and 11 Pittsburgh and Tampa, whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Those are the rankings every Tuesday. All right, picks of the week. You know how we do it every week. We do it, it's a spread. We do got bye weeks, though, this week. We got bye weeks, and bye weeks are as follows. We have the Carolina Panthers and your Washington Redskins on byes. I really hate byes this early in the year, though. I really hate it. I know why they do it. They spread it out so we can have a lot of games to watch throughout the week, but I hate having byes this early.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks.
Right now, no good for a football team.
No.
Byes should start week 8, and there should be like 4-6 teams.
I'd be really okay with a smaller schedule for a few weeks, you know what I mean, than having buys in week 3, week 4, week 5, always to week 11, week 12. It just makes any sense.
Yeah, from week 8 to week 12, you have 8 teams on a bye each week, and we would be okay missing 4 games.
Yes. I mean, it's not like you're already jibbled of having games on 4 o'clock slate anyway, by having like 3-4 o'clock games on Sunday, but like 10, you know, 10 games on freaking at 1 o'clock. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And yeah, you're only allowed to see 2 of them unless you're paying DirecTV or you're sucked into the red zone.
Yeah. Are you a red zone guy too?
Oh, man, I love red zone.
Me too. The only time I watch it, of course, is the Giants are on. So, but that's obvious. And even then, you have 2 TVs. We just have 1 TV, Reds, and 1 TV, keep it in Giants. That's all. No biggie. So,
well, if you want to see someone score, I mean, Giants aren't.
All right, let's get started, man. All right, picks of the week. Like I said, we got 2 buys of the week, so one less game this weekend. All right, big one tomorrow night in L.A. as the Vikings head to L.A. to face the Rams. The Rams are 7-point favorites. By the way, the juice in this game has gotten squeezed out already, because had the Vikings won this past week as Buffalo, and had they actually won the game against Green Bay in week 2, a lot sexier having 3-0 teams, 2 teams who might be the best teams in the conference, possibly the league, playing each other this early in the year on Thursday Night Football. Instead, Vikings shit the bed last week against Buffalo. So the juice in this game has kind of gone out for me a little bit. Just a bit.
I've been telling you for months, since Kirk Cousins signed there, they are not one of the best teams in football. And it's clearly showing.
Well, you also have a lot of personal reasons in there. You know, you being a Redskin fan. I mean, I don't know. I think you're a little tough on Kirk Cousins, too. This is my opinion.
Know what you're going to hear on Thursday night during this game?
What's that?
Kirk Cousins' record on primetime games for Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night.
Was it 0-8 now?
Yeah, 0-8 or 1-8.
Yeah. It's bad. That's definite. It's bad. Anyway, over-under in the game is 49.5. I'm taking the over in this game. And the only reason I'm doing that is because the Rams secondary is a little bit nicked up.
Yeah, I heard a couple of guys are missing.
Peters and Tlaib.
Oh, both starting corners.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. That makes me waver on my pick now.
What'd you have?
I was going under.
But
with two starting corners out, I'll just take the Rams to cover instead.
7 points?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I maybe Minnesota needed that loss last week against Buffalo, but on a short week going to LA against the best team in the league, not a good sign. I don't know. That's not a good starting point here for you, week four. Come off a tie and then lost to what I thought was the worst team in football in Buffalo. But that's just me. Okay. Anyway, next game here, Miami Dolphins heading to New England. This is a huge game. Heading to New England for the Patriots. The Pats are 1-2. The Dolphins are 3-0. This is a big time statement game for the Dolphins here. The Pats, however, are still 7-point favorites. Like I said, I don't know where, you know, the Miami thing. And this is what I've been saying defending the Dolphins here in terms of the playoff chances going forward. If they're going to actually have a chance to make the playoffs this year, all the 50-50 games, all the games they favored, they have to win all those games. Okay, because by doing that, it makes games like these, like what would we call them, scheduled losses. It makes scheduled losses a lot easier to swallow. So, if I'm the Dolphins, I'm happy going this game 3-0, than 2-1, knowing they're facing the Patriots. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So, but that being said, the Pats are in trouble. Although my rankings don't reflect on that yet, because I still think that the Pats, you know, we've seen this before. Obviously, a little bit different team, a lot more drama going on. Brady's older, obviously, but remember they get Julian Edelman back after this week. Josh Gordon is likely to start this game, I believe. But 7 points is a lot for a team that's struggling on offense. I mean, Detroit beat the hell out of this team last weekend. So I'm taking the under here. I'm going to take the under at 48.
I love the under in this game
because
I'm right there right now. New England does not have an offense. And I personally believe that the Dolphins have no run game.
No,
so
they don't.
I would not expect a ton of points in this game whatsoever. And I would step out on a limb and also take the Dolphins minus the points thinking they would win outright. But the thing I feel safest about is clearly the under in this game.
Yeah. I do like the under, definitely. I see a 24-20 type game here. That's the max. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's cool.
Huge game.
I would say 20 to...
20 to what?
2017.
Okay. I'll tell you what, though. If the Pats lose this game, oh boy. Pat meter goes to 10 at that point.
Say that again?
If the Pats lose this game to Miami at home at Foxborough, the Pat meter now goes to a 10, right? It's got to be panic across the board, right?
Or
is 1-3 still, it's Brady, Belichick, they'll figure it out. I don't know. I feel like this team won't be dead till it's actually dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got to be like 1-7, 1-6 before I can actually believe they suck.
This game, it's still the AFC East, so
yeah,
they still have that for them where they can beat Miami later on in the season and have a shot.
I think what it does, though, is that it will definitely put them in a situation where they won't have home field advantage in the playoffs. I think that's the larger picture here for the Patriots. They're probably still in the AFC East, even losing this game to the Dolphins. I mean, if we believe the Dolphins are, if we don't believe the Dolphins are as good as we think they are, as the record states. But again, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be this is one of the most fascinating games of the weekend, probably the biggest game of the weekend, just by virtue of the narratives. That's all. Okay, next game here: the Houston Texans 0-3 heading to the Indianapolis face the Colts. The frisky Colts are 1-point favorites at home. Look, the Colts could be easy 3-0. They play Philadelphia tooth and nail last weekend. Should be in Cincy week one. They beat your boys in week two. And yet, I still think Houston's back against the wall, Bill O'Brien, you know, hot seat, all that. I think they'll steal this win. I think they'll win this game outright.
Until I see Houston win, I will not take them any longer. I am just not convinced of it.
They've hurt you, huh?
Oh, man. I had high hopes for them this season and high hopes for Watson. And right now, I am in the gutter with both of those hopes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While I have not seen much of anything outside the Washington game to like about the Colts.
Right.
I will actually take the under in this game.
At 47?
For the simple fact, yeah, no one's scoring many points. So I'll just live with a division rival and take the under.
That is interesting. Well, I'll tell you what. The Colts haven't scored much points this year. I mean, the first week, I guess you could say that's somewhat, but the last 2 weeks, they haven't done much. I mean, granted, they're playing two tough teams on the road. But, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I just think, and look, obviously, Bill O'Brien's on the hot seat now. You know, Deshaun Watson is... Like he's not what he was last year, but he's played better as the week's gone by. His line sucks. Oh my gosh,
absolutely
worse than the league probably. And
really, my fear for the over would be Deshaun Watson having a breakout game. If Indianapolis' defense plays the way it has been for the first 3 weeks, they're going to dominate Houston's offensive line, and so there won't be many points scored.
Right.
And now seeing the fact that Andrew Luck cannot throw a Hail Mary more than probably 20 yards down the field for him. I don't see the wide receivers getting open. They're going to be pressed at the line.
Good point.
So unless there's a pulling Andrew Luck was the worst thing they did for that Hail Mary.
Because?
Well, you should, if you knew he couldn't throw the ball, you should have done a bunch of hook and ladders or Philadelphia special or something. No way do you show the rest of the league your quarterback cannot throw downfield.
That's a good point. That's actually a great point.
It brings your safeties up a little. It moves your corners to play man press. You do not have that fear that you're going to get burned on a play.
That's a good point, actually. That's actually it's a great point. It's a great point. All right. So but you're betting the under in this game, right?
Yeah, I'm taking the under.
Okay. Next game here, the Cincinnati Bengals lose the first game of the year last week, heading to Atlanta, face the Falcons, who lost a tough overtime game against New Orleans. The Falcons, however, are 5.5-point favorites. Oh, boy. A part of me wanted to take Atlanta to cover the spread, just out of anger, but... They are banged up. They are just bent to hell. Their defense is bent to hell. They might still win this game, but I'm going to take Cincy in the points here, plus 5.5.
2 weeks ago, I'd say right with you. The fact that Cincinnati does not have Joe Mixon right now, I still like Atlanta minus the points.
Okay.
I know they're banged up. But when you know there's almost a non-existent run game coming your way, I think it makes it a little easier to call your defensive scheme.
I'm not sure. Did Mixon play last week, Joe Mixon?
No. He had that arthroscopic knee surgery.
Okay.
He's out a couple weeks.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. That makes sense then. All right. I don't know. I like Cincy the point just because Atlanta's defense is banged up. But this is one of the tougher games, too. This is actually one of the most underrated games of the weekend, to be honest with you.
a lot of great wide receivers on the football field, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. A.J. Green, Julio Jones, of course. You know, Calvin Ridley. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sanu. You know, so. All right, next game here. The Buffalo Bills got the schneid last week in a big way, beating the Vikings. The biggest upset of the year so far. They now travel now to Green Bay to face the Packers. The Packers, however, are 10-point favorites. You know what? I'm gonna go on a limb here. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. I'm riding the Bills Mafia here for another week because I think you know, and it's much less to do with the Bills than more so to do with the, has to do with the Packers. I don't trust the Packers, and you know they are again. They are very Aaron Rodgers reliant, and with that knee, and I think that knee's worse than we think. I think it's worse than what's being said out, what's being put out there. I think that knee's bad. I don't think he survives the year, to be honest with you. What do you think?
You know, sometimes you got to play through pain. And for Aaron Rodgers, you're far and away the highest paid player in football again.
And he's doing it.
So,
to his credit.
I also believe that was a fluke, and it's not the biggest upset of the year so far, what the Bills did last week. It will be. Like, there will not be a bigger upset this year than what the Bills did to the Vikings.
Right. I like Buffalo plus 10 points. That's a lot of points.
I still get 10 points. I will still give the 10 points and take Green Bay.
Whoa.
I think that was just a fluke game.
Hmm. Oh, because Kirk Cousins, that's why. Ha ha. I went for you to knock Kirk Cousins.
what can you say? Two strip sack fumbles and an interception.
Hmm.
Early in the game. It sealed that game right then and there. And they also were missing Dalvin Cook, so that you didn't even have a running back to turn to.
Right. Okay. Next one here. Detroit Lions head to Dallas face the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are 3-point favorites. This is a very fascinating game. Very fascinating game. I took the under here at 43.5. This game feels like a loser leaves town. Like, loser's game is definitely done for the year. Like if Detroit wins this game, they're feeling good at 2-2. Slow start, but they beat the Pats and they beat the Cowboys on the road. You know, you feel good. If you're Dallas, you're 2-2 if you win this game, and you're... You know, you're hanging around in the NFC East. Maybe you start to get better through the weeks ahead. But this game feels like the loser of this game is just done for the year. Just pack it up and go to the draft.
Oh, yeah. And neither team has really shown much on offense.
Right.
Can you really expect Dallas to score 20 points?
No.
At this moment, no.
It would take a fluke play like the Giant game to Tavon Austin, like something like that, you know, and that's the only reason they won that game. They take away that big touchdown in the first quarter, that game goes to the wire, and maybe New York pulls it out. Who knows?
Minus Detroit not showing up at all like they did week one against the Jets, I don't even see how they do not win this game outright. But I'll take the safe bet and take the under with you at 43.5.
Yeah, yeah. Detroit's is a little more ball control these days. Dallas is doesn't have an offense. Yeah, I can see a 17-14 and 20-17 type game in this one, definitely. All right, the Jets heading to Jacksonville for the Jaguars. The Jaguars did the thing I was scared about. The thing that I was scared most last week was let down after beating the Pats. And it happened against Tennessee, which is why I took Tennessee in the points last week for that reason. The Jaguars, however, are still 7.5-point favorites at home. I think they'll bounce back here. The Jets, I think after week one, they've been exposed. And I think the Jaguars will cover the spread.
Oh, I think they'll not just cover the spread, but I think they will feast on Sam Darnold. Like, that defense is seeing how easy it is for him to turn the ball over,
mm-hmm.
and they will be looking for interceptions.
Yep, or fumbles. Anything.
Or fumbles.
Any turnovers, yeah. I see this. Jeff's having at least 5 turnovers in this game. I can see that. So.
Well, yeah, it should be an easy cover.
Yeah, it's like a 27-10 type of game here. Definitely a dominant effort. All right. This game is very fascinating. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to Chicago to face the Bears. The Bears are 3-point favorites. You know, it would have been even cooler if Tampa would have won that game with Pittsburgh Monday night to have the 3-0 Buccaneers heading to Chicago against the 2-1 first place Bears. That would have been a marquee game of the weekend. This game is still fascinating, though. That being said, I like how Tampa closed out last week against the Steelers, even though they lost the game. The fact that they were down 20, they still found a way to keep the game close in the end. And you know what? I'm going to limit here. Mitchell Trubisky is not impressive. He's not impressed me yet. And because of that, honestly, I'm taking the Buccaneers to win this game outright.
You feel like that's going out on a limb. A team that's averaging over 30 points a game.
Well, against the Bears defense. The Bears defense, you have to give respect that, of course. But Trubisky, he hasn't been that good this year, to be totally honest.
No. They have kept him in training wheels. It's almost like they know it was an embarrassment to have picked him.
Over to Sean Watson, who's the better quarterback, of course, yes.
I'm taking Tampa Bay, and I think Tampa Bay could beat them easily by a touchdown, if not two.
Wow. Okay. Good minds think alike. It's good. All right, next game here. The Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl champions, heading to Tennessee to face the surprising Tennessee Titans, who are the 2-1 start of the year so far. The Eagles are 4-point favorites. I like Philly here. Look, Tennessee, two fluky wins. Let's be real. Two fluky wins. Give them credit. Yes, they won, you know, beat Houston. Then they beat, the Jaguars on the road, which is obviously a tough game, whatever. But they can't do it a third week in a row. They can't. I'm sorry. Give me the champs here.
Carson Wentz, it's his second game back. He's going to be a little more precise. You got to love Philly in this game.
Of course.
You just got...
Yeah, I can't see Tennessee with Marcus Mariota not even healthy yet and Blaine Gabbert winning a third straight game against the Super Bowl champions. You know, the Eagles, yeah, they struggled last against the Colts. But you know what? At the same time, I just think that, you know, once more games he plays, like you said, he'll just get better. He'll get his legs under him. I think the Eagles will win. I think this game will be competitive to some degree, but I think the Eagles will probably win, 20-17, you know, some of that, 20-16. No, actually more than that. I'm sorry. I said four. So yeah. That's more than that. 23-17, should I say. 23-17. Hey. Sorry about that.
Right now, you're like calling it for Tennessee.
No, because I was almost taking the under too in this game. I was undecided on the under also because the under is 41.5, and this smells like an under game too.
Well, it smells like Tennessee could get shut out. Is what it is.
All right, next game here. 4 o'clock games here. The Seattle Seahawks head to Arizona to face the winless Arizona Cardinals. The Seahawks are 3-point favorites. Give me Seattle to cover.
You don't like Josh Rosen making his first career start? He's going to come out there with so much more energy than Sam Bradford. That team is going to be fired up.
Possibly. I tend to disagree with you. That doesn't mean they'll win the game. I don't know. I think Seattle. I think the better quarterback here is going to be what wins out here in the end. Russell Wilson is still a top 5 quarterback in the league. Okay? Let's give him some wins here.
I agree. I'll take Seattle. I was just trying to talk about the game a little bit.
That's right. I think Rosen will give him a better chance to... we'll see what happens there. I mean, but I think Rosen will definitely come out fire up a little bit. I mean, obviously, him coming in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, in a game that was still in the air, was kind of, what the hell? But did he get hurt? Bradford got hurt or what?
No, he had the two turnovers or three turnovers. I know he had the two picks.
So why the hell would you take a – why would you put the rookie quarterback into the line of fire late in the game like that? I mean, it made sense to Bayfield for the second quarter, but not the fourth quarter. What was that?
The coach could read the sideline and tell the team was not with Bradford. And that's the real issue is, has Arizona been so bad this year because they've just had Bradford and the team wasn't feeling it? Or is the team really just this bad?
Because they have a couple good players on defense, and their defense isn't even showing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, next game here. This game is fascinating, too. The Cleveland Browns heading to Oakland to face the Raiders. The Raiders are 2.5-point favorites. By the way, the Raiders are still 0-3, but they're actually a decent 0-3. They're very competitive, obviously. And I guess what? I'm going to say the Raiders win the first game of the year to cover the spread.
Man. I had the Raiders, too. I think Gruden's finally going to get his first win.
They've been so close last couple weeks. At some point, you got to get it, right? At some point, you have to get it. And they're at home. You know?
Yeah. And what is it? Baker's making his first career start. Yeah. So
you have tape on him now. A little bit of tape on him to prepare for him instead of, like, you know, him going into the game in the second quarter like last week. I mean, the only thing I will say with the Browns is get 11 days off. I mean, that helps, but beyond that,
There's only so much Myles Garrett can do on that defensive line.
Right.
If Oakland's smart and they can block him and protect Derek Carr, they should be okay. I'm giving Gruden his first win, but if they lose to Cleveland, Gruden needs to stop throwing Derek Carr to the wolves and start manning up and taking some of the blame.
Derek Carr has played better too, for the record. I mean, he had a couple of rough things happen in the Miami game, but I think he's played much better, more confident.
But have you noticed the last 2 weeks following losses, he has thrown Derek Carr under the bus?
Well, because that's what John look. Look, I wrote about this back in February about John Gruden and him being the head coach, and I was against it from the start. So let's not get. I mean, trust me, I'm not a Gruden guy. This is put that way. I was against the move, and then when I saw the money, especially too, I was definitely against the move. So yeah, I think John Gruden's overrated. I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think he's overrated.
I don't think he's even a good coach. I think he's average at best. Had a couple good seasons. One was Oakland, right before he left, so that he could get the Tampa job,
mm-hmm.
and he coasted in his first year with the Tampa
and with Dungy's players. Yeah,
yeah.
Can't complain there. All right, next one here: the San Francisco 49ers heading to LA to face the Chargers. The Chargers are 10.5-point favorites. Dude, I am so bummed out for the Garoppolo injury. I'm so bummed out.
You know who's happy about that? Brady and the owner.
But that was a freak thing, though, too, though. I mean, it's not going to happen if he's in New England. It's, I don't know. It was a freak accident, too.
Yeah, but it makes you feel good if you're one of those two guys. We made the right decision by keeping Brady.
It's very possible right now and moving forward that the Niners will be the worst team in football. Just because of this. Because their roster wasn't really all that great to begin with. Garoppolo kind of saved them a little bit. And that 8.5 win-loss total when I said it was under, now it's a lock. It's a virtual lock. Yeah, that's a lock. They're not getting eight. Under's a lock now. The Chargers here also will cover the spread here at home. No one gives a damn about C.J. Beathard. Come on now. C.J. Beathard, really? Come on.
No, I'm right there with you. I think the game will be over at halftime. It'll be such a big blowout.
Yeah, I'm with you there, too. All right. The New Orleans Saints, who took a big jump in my rankings this week, head to New York, or to Jersey, whatever you want to call it, and face the Giants. The Saints are 3.5-point favorites. I actually took the over in this game at 50 because the Giants saw some life last week on offense. Their defense has played really well all throughout the year. I mean, they're missing Evan Ingram, so that's going to hurt a little bit, but I don't know. I think the over is pretty solid here. I can see a 30-27 type ball game here.
Well, then you should take the Giants plus the 3.5. At that point, you're getting that half a point will give you the win.
I don't know. Drew Brees is tough. But Drew Brees is playing so well, though. That's
yeah. But the Saints' defenses looked atrocious.
That is true. That is true. So Eli should be able to have another big game this week against that defense. No excuses.
You know, Eli doesn't really know what a big game is. Saquon Barkley may have a big game. He may prove to not be a garbage time Hall of Famer, but...
We'll see. All right.
I will take the Saints minus the points.
Do you think they cover? Wow. All right.
I not only think they cover, but I would worry about the over because, you know, it could be like 33-7 or something.
Well, oh, you see a blowout in this game?
Anything's possible with Drew Brees as your quarterback, man.
The Brees thing I'll roll with you on, but, I mean, wow, that's I didn't think you'd see a blowout in that. Okay, all right. All right, Sunday football game, of course, Baltimore Ravens. The rivalry is back. The Ravens heading to Pittsburgh. Face the Steelers, who got their first win of the year on Monday Night Football. The Steelers are 3-point favorites. No respect. No respect from Vegas. The fact that 3-point favorites at home against the Ravens, that's no respect. Give me the under on this game. Although I may regret that because both these teams don't have a defense, really. Give me under here at 51.
I really think you should take your number 10 in power rankings team. You know, it looks really bad when a team you put in top 10, you don't even feel can cover a 3-point spread.
Well,
that's why I will take the Steelers. This will be their first legit victory of the season.
The Steelers?
Yes.
All right. Aren't you a big Ravens fan, though? Don't you just love Flacco and the Ravens and all that? I mean, I'm surprised here a little bit.
I root for them a ton, and I don't know why, but I just got this feeling the Steelers, now that they've decided to trade Le'Veon Bell, that headache is out of the way. And now that they've got a victory, they can build on that victory. And I think this will be a big game for them, and I think they'll cover the spread.
All right. Okay. And finally, Monday Night Football here, the Kansas City Chiefs heading to Denver to face the Broncos. The Chiefs are 5-point favorites. Look at this over-under, though. The over-under this game is the biggest of the week. It is 56 points. Holy crap. We know why, obviously. My boy, Mahomes, as I said before.
So, what are you predicting? Kansas City wins by like 40?
No. I actually have Denver in the points here. I'm taking Denver in the points here.
Really?
Let me tell you why. Divisional game. Monday Night Football. In Denver. KC might win this game still in the shootout, but I think Denver rises the occasion here this week.
Well, this is going to be one of those games we differ on because I am taking Kansas City.
So you buying the Mahomes mania now?
A little bit.
Yeah. It's good, man. It's really good.
I mean, I should really be worried about how bad their defense is, but
you should worry. You know why? It's the worst in the league. 32nd ranked people in the league, I'd be worried too.
But I'll take Kansas City Monday night. I think Pat Mahomes will want to show out a little.
Well, we'll be the first team. This is definitely the best defense that I've faced this year, by far. That's for sure. So, and again, the bye weeks are Carolina and Washington. Zach, before we go, anything on the Noles? We got a game last week.
I did not imagine they could score that many points. The way they have looked.
Oh, God. My prayer right now is as I hope they play better up to the Miami game to at least be competitive with Miami.
Oh, my hope is they still beat Miami and Florida. I cannot take losing to Miami and Florida.
I can't. Yeah, either team. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. It's definitely going to be a fascinating couple weeks before that game because that game's in 2 weeks, I believe. You know? I don't know. Anyway, Zach, next week we'll see you.
Yeah, man. Work on your power ranking.
Oh, stop it.
We'll be right back.